cases that are coming up now, and they're springing up all over the place, from Fikre to a whole host of other folks, they can prove that they have been, that their rights have been, that their secret material, their private material, has been invaded by the government.
Sorry to cut you off, Tom. We're just about out of time, but thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Tom Nelson, a Portland lawyer who represents a number of clients challenging their placement on the federal government's no-fly list.
June 12th at 7 p.m., KABU at the Clinton presents Satyricon, Madness and Glory, Mike Lastra's documentary about the world-famous punk club Satyricon that opened in 1983, featuring interviews and footage from the Old Town establishment. Immediately following the film, 20-Foot Man, Portland's own very large musical steel puppet, a mainstay of public art, will perform myth formations emanating from written and unwritten musical concepts, arranged for your listening and viewing pleasure. Again, June 12th, the documentary film Madness and Glory, followed by a live performance from 20-Foot Man at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton. More information about KABU at the Clinton this month and every second Thursday can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
In 2011, Troy Davis was executed by the state of Georgia despite a compelling case of innocence. This sparked a global movement to end the death penalty. Hear a first-hand account of his story and readings from the book I Am Troy Davis on Prison Pipeline, June 16th at 6:30 p.m.
This Monday at 10:15 a.m. on Locust Focus, Andrew Kimbrell of the Center for Food Safety on the dangers of genetically engineered food.
We are at peak herbicides. We don't have any really new ones. So we're going from Roundup, which, you know, wide spectrum and not considered that harmful, to more harmful, more toxic herbicides, 2,4-D, and then dicamba. And that'll all be stacked together. So you'll have corn and soy that will be resistant to Roundup, 2,4-D, and dicamba, over 50% of our farmland. Imagine that toxic load. That is the nightmare future that these chemical companies have for us.
That's this Monday at 10:15 on Locust Focus on KBOO Portland.
This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
This is KBOO Portland.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring an uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Welcome to Right to Survive Radio. I can't wait to get started. We have a very fun show today with all our listeners. This is the fourth year Right to Survive has had a public campout during the Grand Floral Parade. Our theme this year was Sweepless Nights, Know Your Rights. Sweepless Nights, Know Your Rights theme was designed to bring awareness to the continual sweeps by the City of Portland and the Portland Police Department. The sweeps of the houseless campers are nothing new, but the fact that houseless people are constantly being shuffled around and pushed further and further from services where they can have their needs met and to be a focus until we have adequate housing for everyone. 4 years ago, Leo Rhodes, a member of Right to Survive, heard from the City of Portland that the city buys a permit to allow housed folks to come camp along the streets for 24 hours before parades, making camping legal on those nights, while camping everywhere in the city is still illegal. So Leo Rhodes posed the question to the City Council, why is it legal to camp out for 24 hours to watch a parade, but not for survival? And of course, the city was not able to produce a satisfactory answer. Leo thus brought this information back to Right to Survive, feeling people should be made aware of the double standards the city creates. This is how Pitch a Tent originated. The first year of Pitch a Tent, we began with this simple message, why can't people pitch tents for survival as well as recreation? We had mixed reactions from the folks in downtown and lots of business concerns along with police contact that didn't know the city ordinance for parade camping. Now, by this year, the police have come to expect Right to Survive's presence and the taking over of 4th Avenue from Ankeny all the way up to Taylor. We line both sides with tents and we bring guests back to include guests from the houseless communities of Seattle, Eugene, and San Francisco. Again, this year was a peaceful and well-organized event. The food never stopping from St. Stephen's, Sisters of the Road, Food Not Bombs, Ha Ha, Hot Lips, and many individuals who had heard about our protest and wanted to come down and contribute. I, along with the members of Right to Survive and staff of Right to Survive Radio, want to say a great, big, big thank you to everyone who helped pull Pitch a Tent, Sweepless Nights, Know Your Rights together. All the organizers, supporters, volunteers, everyone did a fantastic, extraordinary job to make this year the biggest Pitch a Tent ever. I would be remiss if I also didn't thank the houseless community for joining us and doing their part to educate the housed folks that meandered through our protest. One last shout out and we will begin our show. Right to Survive really acknowledges all the superb and awesome entertainment that comes to perform each year for Pitch a Tent. All the artists from theater troupes, skit artists, street musicians, poets, to professional artists, groups, singers, and rappers, and a movie-making extraordinaire group all provide us with their beautiful gifts of talent, all from their heart. You are all beautiful people. Thank you for the inspiration and love you inspire in all of us. Okay, let's get this show started. You would twinkle head and rock your eye, 'cause we're celebrating no more drama in our lives. Let the great track pump and everybody jump, and go ahead and twist your back and get your body bumping. I told you leave your situations out the door, so grab somebody and get your on the dance floor.
Now you're open, sing it past the dance floor. Squad from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're here in Portland, Oregon, in Ground Zero in a houseless community for Right to Survive Pitch a Tent. And we're here today with
Mama Chewy.
Mama Chewy, have you been to a Pitch a Tent event before?
Yes, I have. It's a wonderful event. More people need to come out and support Right to Dream 2, Right to Survive, and yeah.
Okay. You're one of the people that used to stay at Right to Dream 2.
Yes, I am.
And you got housed. Can you tell us about that transformation and how Right to Dream 2 helped you out?
Right to Dream 2 helped me out really, really a lot, because the first time Right to Dream started, we were one of the very first people to move into Right to Dream 2, and me and my fiance were there for almost 2 years, and we've been seeking help from other agencies to help us get out, you know, get into an apartment and everything. And then I hooked up with Join, and Join helped me get into our apartment, and yeah, it's been wonderful. We've been there for 2 years now.
Okay. Now, how was the transformation like, living from outside to inside? And then how do you view things different?
Well, it's totally different, because you don't really have a bathroom. You have porta potties at Right to Dream 2, but it's really not a place for, you know, everybody.
Yeah, you can't go private and sit.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see it, and I said, sit.
Exactly. You know, it's, I mean, you can cook here at Right to Dream 2, but it's much easier to have your own kitchen, to have your own bathroom where you can actually take a shower and enjoy your shower and watch TV, you know, have cable or whatever, you know. And at one point in time, I wasn't financially stable. I am financially stable. I also have insurance, which I did not have when I was at Right to Dream 2. So Right to Dream 2 helped a lot.
So now that you're inside, I know you come back into the community and give, but do you view things differently than you did before you went back inside and out on the street, or you view them the same?
No, I don't view them the same, because actually being out on the streets, you don't have a bathroom to go to. You can't find a shower all the time, you know. But with an apartment, you could do all those things, and you can make your own rules. You know, I mean, at Right to Dream 2 made rules, and people need to abide by them. But when you get your own place, you can make your own rules.
Okay. And so, do you look at houselessness different?
Different from being
inside or being outside?
Yeah, it is different. It's very different. I like that philosophy, house keys, not handcuffs.
Yeah.
And I finally got my house keys.
Okay, you didn't get handcuffed.
No, I didn't get handcuffed. No.
You're in a better house.
Exactly.
You think Jesse Farm Boy gonna get handcuffs?
No, not yet. I'm waiting on that one.
Okay. I was talking with Jesse. Thank you. Got a mouth for it. This is time to get him. He can't talk, y'all.
Man, I view houselessness as a product of this incredibly broken model that we have. You know, I remember when I was growing up, if somebody was homeless, right, they were a bum, right, and they made a decision to kind of distance themselves from society, right? They would go to little places and they could be left alone. But, you know, the complexion and the face of homelessness is so different now than it used to be. Now it's not just like the wandering, nomadic kind of guy who just likes to do his own thing, you know. Now it's families. It's entire family units out here trying to do what really should be done in a home. And, you know, and I see that as a product of greed, because there are homes available. I mean, there are a lot of homes available. And... And then the same product of greed wants to hide the homelessness because it's bad for their money making. You know, like if our city leaders had their own way, the whole city would just be one giant voodoo donuts line. And people would just get out of the voodoo donuts line, go to work, get off work, come back to the voodoo donuts line. And we'd all just be a big episode of Portlandia. But that's not the realities.
So what do you like about this pitch a tent rally or campaign you're seeing now?
Right off the top, my favorite thing about it is that all the tents match. All the tents match. So it looks like a giant Monopoly board. You know, there's houses and hotels, and that's beautiful. And just any time the community can come together as just a show of force and a show of strength. And it might not be today, and it might not be next year, but eventually you'll throw enough rocks at the castle to crumble it.
All right. That was Jesse Steinberg from Fight Church Television. Folks, go every Monday and listen to him. We're going to listen to some of this music now.
You know I'm putting up a resistance. I'm going to work it out.
Get down with your big bad self.
Don't wanna stay home tonight. I'd like to spend some time with my family, but staying home won't make it right.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in a houseless community on Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon. And our topic is pitch a tent. And we're here with the brainstormer, the clever, the debonair, the suave activist.
And good looking.
Leo Rose. Okay, Leo, tell us what organization and how we came about with pitch a tent campaign.
Yeah, the question was asked, why do they let non-homeless people pitch up their tents for the parade route of the Rose Parade, and they won't let, or for one night, and they won't let homeless people do that any other time? So, you know, I was like, yeah, that's a good question. So I went around for a couple of years to see what all the organizations, homeless people, and elected officials were all talking about the homeless issue on this. So when I got all that information, I also went to the Committee to End Homelessness and I asked them the same question. Why did they let non-homeless people pitch up their tents for 24 hours and then non-homeless, you know, not any other time? And you literally hear the gasp in the room. Everybody's like, somebody sarcastically said, well, the city buys them a permit. So then the people in the room were like, now these are homeless providers and organizers and stuff like that. And yeah, so after the guy said this about city buys and permit, it was kind of like, everybody said, you know, like, phew, okay, it's okay. You know, then I said, so what you're really telling everybody then, it's okay to pitch a tent for leisure, but you can't pitch a tent for survival. And again, everybody got in shock. Everybody's like, oh my God, you know? Yeah, so I threw back again. I said, this is wrong. There's something wrong with this. There's definitely something wrong with it. 75% of the people agreed with me. The others didn't really agree with me. So one of the things, and the reason I went around and got all this information from everybody, was because I knew if we got this started, that people are going to ask, well, what are the organizations like Street Roots, Sisters of the Road, what do they all say about this? Elected officials, the mayor, the city council. That's the reason why I got all this information. Once I got that information, then I went to Right to Survive. And yeah, Ibrahim, and I told him about this, and I said, we need to do something about this. And he agreed with me, but Ibrahim says, well, I can't make the decision. You have to go before Right to Survive, or go from there. And he said, I know they're going to say, yeah, they're going to want to do it. That's what I did, and we did. We talked about it, and yeah, they were all for it. It was unanimous. We were going to do it, and that's what we did. When we did do it, and we did start it, we had all our meetings and everything, and then once we got everything all together, and we prepared for it, and then we put the word on out that we were going to do this, when we set on up, I always have a Share Wheel, which is from Seattle, and we invited them to come on down. And when they came on down, you know, to help participate in this protest with us, We pitched up our tents, and I say less than 2 hours, but Ibrahim says less than 1 hour. The police were right on us, telling us we couldn't pitch up our tents. All these homeless people pitching up their tents. Yeah, so we went right on over there, and we argued our point that it says in the ordinances that we talked to and the city officials that we talked to said anybody can pitch up their tents, and it was open to the public.
Right.
And we kept saying that back and forth and forth. The police were on the phone trying to get us out of there. And what's really funny, too, is that they didn't even come to the homeless people from Portland. They came to share a wheel.
Right.
They were talking to them from Seattle, telling them they had to leave, you know, because they had their banners up and everything, too, to show where they were from. Anyway, finally we showed them the ordinance and the police couldn't do anything, but naturally they had to have their last word, so they said, well, at least just keep the walkway clear.
Yeah.
So we said, okay. Less than a minute later, they went running catty corner to where we were at and to a business right on the corner there, and we found out that the owner of the business was complaining that all these homeless people were driving away his customers, you know, because they were pitching up their tent right there. So again, the officers had to take this gentleman, the owner, inside, and he explained, and you could just see, we seen him through the window and how upset he was getting, you know. And so next came the city attorney came on down too. She asked what happened, what was going on. And so the police started telling her, you know, that what was going on. So you could see her face getting really upset about what was going on, chewing her gum really fast and hard, and their beet red face and everything. And then finally she just said, okay, she pulled out her card and gave it to the police officer and said, if there's any problems, call me.
Right.
So then right after that, the police officer again was started saying that all the homeless people had to move. And this is when Ibrahim jumped in and said, well, if we have to go, then you got to tell those other people down there, which are non-homeless people, they have to go too. The police again got really frustrated and said, well, just make sure you have the walkway clear. So that was our first year, and every year it's been getting bigger and bigger. And yeah, this needs to be said out there, you know, right now with the sweeps going on. And that's ridiculous to tell somebody, you know, you can't be sleeping here and go somewhere else, and they have nowhere else to go.
Right. From your experience, we know the business people and the police don't like seeing more than two houseless people in one spot together. So what has the reception from the general public that been utilizing, I mean, being on our picture tents next to us and talking with us and enjoying our company, what have been their response to this?
It's been really positive. A lot of them are curious, yeah, and they wonder what's going on with all these homeless people coming on out. And, you know, that's one of the things, you know, we want to show is that the human aspect of it, you know. I mean, people, we're all human beings out here, you know, on the streets. And that's what, you know, as a human being, you have the right to sleep someplace safe and secure. But, you know, you can't do that out there on the streets. It's really been a positive thing. People have, yeah, they have their prejudices, but once they come in and talk to us and understand homeless people, then, yeah, they change their mind about that.
And so you not only use pitch a tent as a direct action to say people need places to sleep, or why can't they put up tents in a designated area, but it also you use it to educate the public on how humans are being treated by the police and city officials and the business alike.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the biggest things, I'm a homeless advocate, and I've been that for, what, going on 13 years, maybe 14 years now. The biggest barrier I see is when you've got so-called experts on homelessness that all talk about the drunks, the druggies, the criminals, the mentally ill of homelessness. They never talk about the humanity side of it, of, you know, well, these people are just out of their luck and, you know, they just need someplace safe and secure. It's always the what I call the rape, pillage, and burn. Mm-hmm. If you get more than two people together, you know, which, you know, I mean, society's like that. When I talk to other individuals, non-homeless people, that's what they always tell me. Well, people like that don't have houses. There's the same way. Yeah, that's true. They are. Well, you know, when we had a pitch a tent, one of the biggest things that I kept saying at these meetings was, we have everybody's attention. What are we going to do next? Which kind of fell in our laps was the land on 4th Burnside, which is Right to Dream 2. You know, and for years, just about the same period of time, we've been showing that homeless people can sleep together, that they do need this. One of the things that I'm are starting to talk about is sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation, when I brought it on up at a meeting, one gentleman said, well, we can give them CPAP machines, which is, if you have sleep apnea, it pumps oxygen in you. And I said, no. What I mean is sleep deprivation is the people, the rent-a-cops, the cops, business owners, private landowners that tell you you can't sleep here. So you go around all night trying to figure out where you're going to sleep. And, you know, that's your sleep deprivation, which causes mental illness. You know, yeah, people don't understand that that's part of staying healthy on the streets is getting enough sleep. And, you know, that's why I say when you do say you don't want these homeless, like rest areas, shelters, well, then you're enabling homelessness.
I'm glad you brought up Right to Dream too. So now with all the controversy and the tension and the bickering between the Pearl District developer, City Hall, the houseless people and communities and activists, and Right to Dream too is getting all this attention, do you think people will see Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign in a different manner or different perspective?
Well, to me, it depends on the people themselves. Some people were never going to change their mind. They're always going to not like it. Some people, a majority of the people, just don't know and have to be educated and do see what we see as advocates, as helping the less fortunate with, you know, Right to Dream too. Yeah, and so if you have an area which people really need to have this safety net, everybody needs that. And with the budget, the way it's going, you know, it's crazy to say we don't want you here, but just go somewhere else and you won't have nowhere else. But yeah, if you look at the statistics, or even if they are minute, they still are meaningful to people out there, you know, and it gives them a lot of hope. Right to Dream too gives people a lot of hope of, okay, I can stabilize myself. I can sleep without the bad things happening on out there, physical stuff that people put on homeless people of kicking them, hitting them, spitting on them, peeing on them, urinating, you know, and just the threat of, I want to kick this person just because he's sleeping there because he's homeless. You know, I mean, those are all the stuff that happen to homeless people out there. And this is why we need this. And people don't understand that this is a really needed thing. And it's cost efficient. You know, it's a low barrier that really helps our, you know, money-wise, helping out a lot.
So our first year, Right to Survive first year, Pitch a Tent, we was 2.5 blocks. The year after that, we was 8 blocks. Last year was about 10, 11.5 blocks. So do you think it would expand more this year with the collaboration, with the popularity of the houseless people speaking out and being in solidarity with different organizations?
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's great to see something like that, you know, that expands, like everybody getting that knowledge of, okay, it's not just the rape, pillage, and burn. That's one of the things when the first year that we had, one of the questions I asked the organizers, there was like a group of them sitting in a circle, and I went over there and I asked them, I said, what do you think the headline should read in this morning's Oregonian on the front cover? And they all gave me their political views, and I was like, no, it should read Portland Still Standing. You know, it wasn't the rape and pillage and burn that all the people think when you sleep next to a homeless person, or you have a lot of homeless people sleeping in one area. We have our own security, and we have our own strict code of conduct that we go by, and you know, that's another thing. That's one of the things I always say too, coming from Seattle, was that we lost our houses, we didn't lose our minds.
Yeah. So the messages the first year was safe sleep, a place to sleep. I know the third year was R2-D2, the Empire Strikes Back, and this year the message is sleepless nights. Yeah, so do you think people would get that message that we're trying to present or portray or get out to the public?
Well, I really hope so. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that they are sweeping the homeless people right now. There is a big push by the police, by elected officials, by business owners, sometimes non-homeless people, wanting to get the homeless people out of the downtown core area of Portland. Yeah, it's just all, like I always say, it's all about educating the public and telling them that you actually are enabling homeless people by doing this, by just saying, you get out of here, we don't want you. Because what, you have the 10-year plan, which is changing over right now because they're regrouping. They're not keeping up with the homeless population. They're doing okay, but not enough. They need to do more. And in the meantime, we need stuff like this kind of direct action to show the public, to tell the public what's really happening, how they're actually enabling homelessness. Right to Dream 2 also is a great thing to show that they are enabling homelessness. So yeah, I'm hoping that a lot of people out there listening, there's a group of people I know that listen to KBOO, but I really would like to have people record this or put this on their Facebook page, wherever, social media, and spread the word that, yeah, this is what needs to be happening. We need to educate the public.
Good. Thank you, Leo Rose, yeah, original you. Originator of originals. Leo Rose. This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And we here in Portland, Oregon in Ground Zero at Right to Survive Pitch a Tent Campaign. And I'm here with
Wilbur.
Wilbur, is this your first Pitch a Tent you've been at?
Oh no.
This your second one, third one, fourth one?
Oh, half a dozen anyway.
Okay. And how are you enjoying this?
I'm enjoying it.
Okay, and what did you see here? I mean, tell the listening audience what you see.
Progress.
Progress? What you mean by progress?
People are getting better organized to fight.
Good.
I mean, it's homeless thing.
That's right. That's right. And do you think that, that homeless people have been, the speak have been, the Grecian myth have been some misinformed about houseless people?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, because you're only one paycheck from being homeless.
Right.
Your neighbor has a house one day, and the next day somebody moves in and they tear the house down and you're out on the street.
Right. And so that don't mean they're bad people, right?
That don't mean they're bad people. No way.
So why do people think homeless people are bad people?
That is a $100 question.
Well, I don't have $100 to give you, so don't answer it, okay? All right, thank you much, Wilbur. Okay, this is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're here in Ground Zero in Portland, Oregon in a houseless community at Right to Survive Pitch a Tent Campaign. And I'm here with
Felicity.
Felicity, how you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Have you ever been to a Pitch a Tent?
Yes.
Yeah, and how many of them have you been in?
A couple.
A couple, and how were they?
Good.
Oh, yeah. Is it different than the one you was at before than now?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Can you explain to the listening audience?
Yes. It's a nice community environment where people work together to have a place where they can rest peacefully so they can go about their day with dignity.
Okay.
Without a good place to sleep, it's really difficult to function and be a working member of society. And having these places has given me the opportunity to rest in the past when I was homeless. And as a result of that, I was able to find work and work my way into housing.
Great.
And I'm very grateful for Right to Dream.
Is there a lot of people here today?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. And what are they doing?
we're celebrating and having music and celebrating the Rose Festival.
All righty then. Thank you. How you doing, young man?
Good.
Oh, yeah? You enjoying what you're seeing?
I'm okay. I got a lot of games.
You got a lot of games? How you like the music?
Good.
I've seen you out there dancing. Is it good music?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Soldier, ready, let me try again. It's the last time I'm at the limit.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM, and today we're in a houseless community in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero at the Pitch a Tent Rose Floral Parade protest. So I'm here with
Sydney.
Sydney, is this your first Pitch a Tent campaign?
It is.
And what do you like about it?
I like the community. You know, we're all out here, you know, for the same cause, and it's amazing.
And is it all houseless people or different people or what kind of event? You know, the people that's not seeing this, what you're seeing, they need to know. They want to hear what you're seeing.
It's a lot of houseless folks, but I've talked to a lot of people just walking by today that have been so supportive, and, you know, it's great.
Are you going to come back again next year?
I am, for sure, yeah.
Okay. All right, Sydney.
Oh, sure. Okay.
KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And we are in Ground Zero, Portland, in a houseless community at the Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign. And I'm here with
Lauren Kale.
Lauren Kale, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Okay, what kind of day is it?
It's a beautiful day, and I'm glad to be able to be here to support the houseless community.
What I want you to do is to come here and look down that street and tell me what you see.
I see a whole lot of people camping out.
Rows and blocks and blocks and blocks.
Blocks and blocks and blocks of people camping out.
On both sides, right?
Yes.
And what do you think about that?
Well, I think that people should be allowed to camp out wherever they need to all year long, not just on the night of the Rose Parade.
So, do you see people here being happy, sad, what?
I think right now people seem pretty happy because we're all together here and we're making it a safe place. So we've made it a safe place so we can't get harassed by the police or by, you know, any of the merchants or, yeah. So I think it's a pretty good, you know, experience.
So what do you think about that Grecian myth that houseless people are drug addicts, prostitutes, no good, bums, whatever?
Well, I was actually houseless myself about 3 years ago, and I know that we're all human, and it can happen to anyone, and it doesn't matter why. We all deserve a roof over our heads, a safe place to sleep, and a place to shower, and some warm food, and I think people just need to wake up.
Okay. Thank you. Would you come again?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, now you can enjoy the entertainment.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, this is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And we're in Portland, Oregon, and Ground Zero in the houseless community at Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign and the Rose Festival Floor Parade. And I'm here with
Mike Withey.
Mike Withey, this your first Pitch a Tent?
This is not my first Pitch a Tent.
Is it different than, I mean, how many Pitch a Tents you've been at?
I think I've been to three so far. I think this is the third one, so that'd make it three.
Is it different when you say?
You know, it's the same, I think. Well, maybe a little more organized this year, actually. It seems like a little more organized.
Okay.
And a lot more food.
And a lot more food. Okay, is it a lot more tents or about this?
It looks like a lot more tents to me because I'm looking down three blocks and seeing tents. And I have a feeling that it's a lot of the homeless community and its supporters that are out here in these tents, yeah.
Yeah. And what'd you think about it?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely adore it. I think it should happen every night of the year until we can get everybody indoors.
So do you know what Pitch a Tent campaign is doing?
I can only presume. I think it's maybe I never asked because it seems obvious to me. So I don't want to go say what it is. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's just all the different organizations that are advocates for the homeless here in Portland getting together and showing solidarity and sticking together. I think that's what it means.
And that's what it means. There's people here that, you know, they allow house people to come sleep outside, but the homeless people do it. They criminalize. So this is an educational protest. Right?
That's right, and I love it.
Okay. Would you come again?
I'll come next year and the year after that. Okay. Until we get everybody off the streets, I'll be here.
Oh, thank you very much.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're here in Portland, Oregon, Ground Zero, in a houseless community at Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign. And I'm here with...
Jason.
Jason, is this your first Pitch a Tent?
No, sir. I think this is my third. I think this is my three or four.
Three or four.
I think so.
Been at all four. What's the difference in the first one you've been at than what you're seeing now?
The first one I was actually a little more active helping you know, it was my first real big activist thing I was doing. I walked around with Right to Survive and helped film it and all that. I think we're a lot more organized now than we were 3 years ago. But you know what? I see that it continues to grow and we get more recognition out here, and I think that's what matters.
Right.
Because we're giving the houseless community more face time, to put it out there. You know, letting people know that the houseless people can do something without the law always having to be there, you know, with batons and mace.
And what do you see? You see people that's enjoying themselves, housed and unhoused, right?
I see people of the diversity we have here right now is phenomenal. We have veterans, we have the disabled, we have people of color, we have vegans, we have meat eaters. We've got goofy people like Carrie, you know. I mean, we've got people of different, you know, religious, spiritual beliefs, all of it. I mean, it's awesome to see. We've got children out here also. And we didn't have that many the first year, but now, I mean, I'm looking down the street and I see like four or five kids down the street playing.
Right.
You know, and it's awesome. I'm glad that I get to, you know, come and be a part of this, even though this year I'm with a different organization.
That's okay.
You know, and I'm out here we're out here feeding folks, and you guys feed people the knowledge, and we'll feed their bellies.
So they getting fed both ways, huh?
So I
think they got to be full, huh? KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're here in Portland, Oregon, Ground Zero in a houseless community at Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign. And I'm here with
Tess Shell.
Okay, is this you all's first Pitch a Tent campaign?
This is, yeah. Yep.
And what'd you think about it, Shell?
Very, very neat. I dig it. Yeah, I really like it, you know, especially given, you know, the sidewalk ordinance and, you know, the fact that people who don't have homes are being oppressed just because they don't have homes. Like, that's not right. So we're very happy to be a part of it.
And what do you think about that
the city allowed people that live in home to come out and live on the streets. But people who live on the streets can't live on the streets.
I think the way that homelessness is handled in the city is completely ridiculous. It makes no sense at all.
So what are you saying here today? People don't see what you all see, so they ain't gonna hear what you see. So what you all seeing?
Well, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of community, and you know, that actually makes me hopeful that there are, you know, quite a few supporters here and that there's a lot of community. It gives me a little bit of hope, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people from different backgrounds recognizing their mutual humanity.
And so it's not like people think about houseless people, bums, drug dealers, prostitutes, and nothing.
No, absolutely not. Like, I mean, I've known, you know, people who are homeless or have been homeless, and, like, most of them actually are good people. They're not drug users. They're, you know, they just became homeless because of circumstance, you know, because they have really, really luck. And, like, you know, it's a really crappy stereotype.
Yeah. So would you come again?
Yeah, absolutely.
And y'all have a group. Can you tell us the name of your group? And you entertain here. You sung for us and calmed the crowd down. You did an excellent job.
We're Fuzzy Club.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're the Fuzzy Club.
All right. Thank you, Fuzzy Club. Yeah. It's a warm fuzzy, right?
I am Lisa, and we have been listening to the Houseless as well as the House Folks, all out enjoying the 4th annual Pitch a Tent protest put on each year by Right to Survive. For those listening today that do not know who Right to Survive is, let me go into a little detail about the organization. Right to Survive was founded in 2009 to bring knowledge to the houseless community. We are made up of formerly houseless, currently houseless, supporters and advocates and activists for the houseless community. We educate folks about their civil, constitutional, and human rights. When you're living on the street, it's very hard keeping up with the always changing laws and ordinances that specifically target poor people and people that are houseless. Once people are able to know and understand what these unjust laws do to oppress and criminalize people, then they can either stop them from being written or fight to change and eliminate unjust laws that are on record. Working to educate, empower, and build self-esteem are only a few of the small components of Right to Survive, but they are foundations for changing some of the root causes of poverty and discrimination. To learn more, please see us at Right to Survive on Facebook or follow us at www.righttosurvive.wordpress.com. This is Right to Survive Radio, and earlier in the show, we heard from Paul Bowden, the director for the Western Regional Advocacy Project, based in San Francisco. RAP is a coalition of organizations from around the country, including California and Oregon. And we are working together in solidarity for housing and social justice. Right to Survive is a core member of RAP, and is working to bring organizations from across Oregon to join us with the Houseless Bill of Rights campaign. Please learn more about the Houseless Bill of Rights campaign by going to the RAP.org website and find out how you or your organization or group can get involved and or endorse the Houseless Bill of Rights campaign. I hear we should have a draft bill for our endorsers to look at and comment on by the end of the month. Boy, this is exciting news. Please stay tuned to hear more to come. This has been a fun show, and we enjoy bringing Right to Survive Radio to our listeners. As your host, I hope you have had fun with us and learned a little about what Right to Survive does and the Houseless Bill of Rights campaign. Learning that we may have an actual draft of a bill by month's end is exciting for us here at Right to Survive. Pitch a Tent is first and foremost a protest to let people know about the injustices of having housed people sleep out for parades, but houseless people are criminalized for doing the same type of camping throughout the year. With that said, it's plain to hear we have created a 24-hour block party along the parade route, and we hope you will join us next year. Now, maybe you have checked out our Facebook or Right to Dream 2s and heard we are having a karaoke fundraiser to benefit R2-D2 on Sunday night from 3 to 10 p.m. We are going to be at the Star Theater on Northwest 6th Avenue between Burnside and Cooch. It's on the Max Line and only $5 to get in. Come sing with us. Bring your friends. Karaoke is always better with friends. From much of the music in tonight's show, you may have guessed it's a 70s-themed karaoke event. If you only know 80s music or newer, we won't hold that against you. Come on out. We will have tabling, awesome raffle prizes, games, and lots of fun. Right to Survive would like to recognize Sloth and Sophia for organizing this karaoke fundraiser and the many businesses along Mississippi, Alberta, and Hawthorne that contributed to this fundraiser and our raffle. Many of you will be downtown for the Gay Pride weekend anyway, so why not stop in, sing a few bars? We'd love to hear from you. Right to Survive can be reached on Facebook or at r2spdx@gmail.com. Or on our blog at www.wordpress.com/right to survive. Check out RAP and the Houseless Bill of Rights at wrap.org. Right to Survive meets every second and fourth Thursday at Sisters of the Road Cafe from 5 to 7 p.m. Sisters of the Road is located at Northwest 6th and Davis. Come check out our meetings and hear what we're about. Right to Survive has new newsletters and Under the Bridge walks every first and third Tuesday of the month. Under the Bridge walks goes into the houseless community and talks to people about what their needs are and what is going on with the houseless situation. Under the Bridge walks leave from in front of Right to Dream 2, located at Northwest 4th and Burnside, at 6:30 p.m. Hope you will come out and join us. And as always, thank you for joining us for Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Much love and peace. Yours always, Lisa.
I'm in the intersection between love and liberation, indoctrination and occupation. I demand a response to this emergency, so the government is conscious of insurgency. So much work to do, so few jobs to buy. The financial sector loots and robs you blind. Politicians and puppets and the Pope protects predators.